Today is December the 1st. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is a pleasure. It is an honor to be here with you today as we begin the final month of the year. So 11 twelfths are done. 11 months nonstop every day without fail we have spent together in this adventure through Scripture, and we begin today our final month of the year 2011. We're reading in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verses 1 through 27 today, from the Message. In King Belshazzar's third year as king, another vision came to me, Daniel. This was now the second vision. In the vision, I saw myself in Susa, the capital city of the province of Elam, standing at the Ulai Canal. Looking around, I was surprised to see a ram also standing at the gate. The ram had two huge horns, one bigger than the other, but the bigger horn was the last to appear. I watched as the ram charged, first west, then north, then south. No beast could stand up to him. He did just as he pleased, strutting as if he were the king of the beasts. While I was watching this, wondering what it all meant, I saw a billy goat with an immense horn in the middle of its forehead come up out of the west and fly across the whole country, not once touching the ground. The billy goat approached the double-horned ram that I had earlier seen standing at the gate and, enraged, charged it viciously. I watched as, mad with rage, it charged the ram and hit it so hard that it broke off its two horns. The ram didn't stand a chance against it. The billy goat knocked the ram to the ground and stomped all over it. Nothing could have saved the ram from the goat. Then the billy goat swelled to an enormous size. At the height of its power, its immense horn broke off, and four other big horns sprouted in its place, pointing to the four points of the compass, and then, from one of those big horns, another horn sprouted. It started small, but then grew to an enormous size, facing south and east toward lovely Palestine. The horn grew tall, reaching to the stars, the heavenly army, and threw some of the stars to the earth and stomped on them. It even dared to challenge the power of God, Prince of the Celestial Army. And then it threw out daily worship and desecrated the sanctuary. As judgment against their sin, the holy people of God got the same treatment as the daily worship. The horn cast God's truth aside. High-handed, it took over everything and everyone. Then I overheard two holy angels talking. One asked, "How long is what we see here going to last? The abolishing of daily worship, this devastating judgment against sin, the kinking around of God's holy people, and the sanctuary." The other answered, "Over the course of 2,300 sacrifices, evening and morning, then the sanctuary will be set right again." While I, Daniel, was trying to make sense of what I was seeing, suddenly there was a human-like figure standing before me. Then I heard a man's voice from over by the Ulai Canal, calling out, "Gabriel, tell this man what is going on. Explain the vision to him." He came up to me, but when he got close, I became terrified and fell face down on the ground. He said, "Understand that this vision has to do with the time of the end." As soon as he spoke, I fainted, my face in the dirt. But he picked me up and put me on my feet. And then he continued, "I will tell you what is going to happen as the judgment days of wrath wind down, for there is going to be an end to all this. The double-horned ram you saw stands for the two kings of the Medes and the Persians. The billy goat stands for the kingdom of the Greeks. The huge horn on its forehead is the first Greek king. The four horns that sprouted after it was broken off are the four kings that come after him, but without his power. As their kingdoms cool down and rebellions heat up, a king will show up, hard-faced, a master trickster. His power will swell enormously. He'll talk big, high-handedly, doing whatever he pleases, knocking off heroes and holy ones left and right, He'll plot and scheme to make crime flourish. And oh, how it will flourish. He'll think he's invincible and get rid of anyone who gets in his way. But when he takes on the prince of all princes, he'll be smashed to bits. But not by human hands. This vision of the 2300 sacrifices evening and morning is accurate, but confidential. Keep it to yourself. It refers to the far future. I, Daniel, walked around in a daze, unwell for days. Then I got a grip on myself and went back to work taking care of the king's affairs. But I continued to be upset by the vision. I couldn't make sense of it. First John chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous Jesus. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good, not only ours, but the whole world's. Here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. If someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. His life doesn't match his words. But the one who keeps God's word is in the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. My dear friends, I'm not writing anything new here. This is the oldest commandment in the book, and you've known it from day one. It's always been implicit in the message you've heard. On the other hand, perhaps it is new, freshly minted, as it is in both Christ and you. The darkness on its way out and the true light already blazing. Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. It's the person who loves his brother and sister, who dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. But whoever hates is still in the dark, stumbles around in the dark, doesn't know which end is up, blinded by darkness. I remind you, my dear children, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. You veterans were in on the ground floor and know the one who started all this. You newcomers have won a big victory over the evil one. And the second reminder, dear children, you know the Father from personal experience. You veterans know the one who started it all, and you newcomers, such vitality and strength. God's word is so steady in you. Your fellowship with God enables you to gain a victory over the evil one. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically, everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting, is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Psalm 120, 1 through 7, a pilgrim song. I'm in trouble. I cry to God, desperate for an answer. Deliver me from the liars, God. They smile so sweetly, but lie through their teeth. Do you know what's next? Can you see what's coming? All you barefaced liars, pointed around the burning coals, will be your reward. I'm doomed to live in Meshech, cursed with a home in Kedar. My whole life lived camping among quarreling neighbors. I'm all for peace. For the minute, I'll tell them so they won't go to war. Proverbs 28, 25 and 26. A grasping person stirs up trouble, but trust in God brings a sense of well-being. If you know it all, you're a fool for sure. Real survivors learn wisdom from others. So what we have here from the old Saint John speaking today is, it's hard. There's these scriptures that come up and they smack you on the face or bop you on the nose and you go, okay, wait, let me read that again. Did that say what I think it said? Because that leaves no wiggle room. And that is precisely the Bible as it shores up our lives, which is one of the things that are happening today and one of the things that I believe happens as we round out the year. You cannot come into contact every day with the Bible and remain simply indifferent. You can't just go, well, that was fun. I got a couple pieces of truth to kind of, some things, some principles, some ideas to consider. The saint says, if someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. That's kind of like an ouch kind of moment. And there will be some that'll go, well, you're reading from this paraphrase, the message, and I like its language, but is it really, really true to the original? So if we go to the original Greek, if you do not keep his entoli, his instructions, his commands, if you do not follow his commands, you are sustis, lying, a liar, and the truth is not in you, is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, which is why we come here every single day to keep his word in us. Truly, the one who keeps his word in him the love of God is perfected. Or as the message says, but the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. There's just no wiggle room there. And we can go, man, that stings, because sometimes that's not how my life looks. Or we can say, that seals the deal. Like a lid on a jar, that suction there seals it for me. I see that this truly is an all or nothing proposition, which is one of the key things about scripture that we must know in our year-long adventure. It comes down to that you are either in or you are out. And there is grace and there is mercy for those who are pursuing with their full hearts everything that God has for us. But to lean on grace and mercy as kind of this insurance policy, sort of this, I'm pretty sure I can live the way that I choose to live, arrogantly aloof to the commandments of Christ, kind of glad that he died, but he probably didn't need to lay his life down. That's awfully gruesome, a little bit over the top. I'm not that dramatic of a person. We live that way, and we're going to find that maybe we were never in. I'm not trying to make a doctrinal statement here about who's in and who's out. I'm not trying to play judge as God will. saying scripture does very clearly indicate you're in or you're out. And if you're in, you're all in, all the way. If someone claims I know him well, but doesn't keep his commands, he's obviously a liar. His life doesn't match his words. But the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. Or going back to an original translation, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commands, does not follow his instructions, is a liar. The truth isn't in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly, the love of God is perfected. By this, we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And John goes on to say, this isn't a new idea, guys. This is an old one. You've had this from the very beginning. So challenging, yes. Assurance that it's going to take everything we've got, yeah. But do you understand the freedom in that? Of letting go. Saying, okay, I get it. I get it. I'm all in. I do not care anymore. I don't care what I look like. I don't care how risky that might be. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what this world does or doesn't do. I am absolutely, completely smitten with Jesus. I am utterly and completely in love with this man. That's it. I am done. I am done with the crap that I keep getting myself into. I'm done. I am absolutely, hopelessly pursuing God with all of my heart and following in the footsteps of Jesus under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There simply is no other choice. I cannot make life work any other way. And I'm going to stop trying. I'm all in. I'm putting all of my chips on the table. I'm all in. The freedom in that. The freedom in just saying it. May we be all in as we sprint toward the end of the year. And may a shift in everything take place as we live all in 2012. Heavenly Father, we come before you declaring that we are smitten with you. We love you. We are overcome. We are overwhelmed. Your grace and mercy, your passionate love for us has won our hearts. And as we are in this season of contemplating the fact that you came for us, we race toward the end of this year, celebrating the fact that you came for us. And we get to Christmas Day, we celebrate your arrival, indicating the shift of all ages has come. God incarnate has arrived. We love you. Holy Spirit, make these truths real to us. Shift us as we move to the new year. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. I've been mentioning, and today's the day, I got a split very quickly here. Head for the airport. We're flying from Nashville out to Denver and then heading over to Buena Vista, Colorado. There's a place that I get to see today that I'm longing for right now. I'm just jonesing for it. So some of you will know this place. I don't remember the name of the road. I'd have to look at a map. But you can come south out of Denver into Colorado Springs and then go across towards Buena Vista by taking this road that goes by Garden of the Gods and comes out the backside in the city's like monument and stuff. And go out into the Pikes National Forest and get all the way to the top of that road. And I think you're pretty much pushing 10,000 feet at that point. 9,000-10,000 feet up. And if you look behind you, you can see the backside of Pikes Peak. And if you look before you, you see this vast, beautiful valley. And on the other side of the valley is the Collegiate Peaks. And you get to drive down across that beautiful valley, pristine. It's one of my favorite places on this planet. And I get to drive it this afternoon. So, and I'm taking you with me. And I'm sure I'll take a picture and make it my pick of the day on Facebook. And I've been trying to do that, is to take pictures to commemorate something from the day. So maybe that'll be the pick of the day today. So we're off onto the road and traveling, and some other travel has kind of come up here at the end of the year. Just some travel for interviews as we move into the time of telling the Daily Audio Bible story around the book Passages. Passages is, of course, the book that I've written. Really, really aimed at the 93% of Christians who don't have a relationship with God's word. And to those who do, to just reorient life to God. So that is available at dailyaudiobible.com in the Daily Audio Bible store. We have, and we are launching today, the Daily Audio Bible Christmas 2011 gift basket. And that will include a gift basket with a Passages book, a Rwandan coffee, and a Wind Farm coffee mug. And you can see those at dailyaudiobible.com. We've been waiting on that just to make sure we could ship them correctly, etc., etc. But you can now get them. So we are going on some travels today. I thank you for your prayers over it. I pray for all of the men congregating in Colorado. It's a really powerful thing that's about to happen this weekend, and I thank you for your prayers. We also released the Passages trailer, and I thank you for all of those of you who have helped to pass it around on Facebook and through the internet. And those of you who can, thank you for sharing the word. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at the website. There's a link on the homepage. Of course, you probably have it memorized by now, but the mailing address for Daily Audio Bible is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And if you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. And that will do it for today. Here we are, the month of December. May God be with you on this beautiful day. I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. My name is Rumbi. I'm calling from Australia. My prayer request was played on the 12th of October, and I'd like to say thank you to everyone who prayed for me, which is all of you, and all those who reached out to me through the prayer request line. I am not as depressed as I was before, and I'm getting better, and I think depression is something I will continue to fight. Some days will be good and some days will be bad, but I'm happy to report that I'm feeling so much better than the day when I made that desperate phone call, and I will continue to fight for my happiness in Jesus Christ. Also, I would also like to say there was a gentleman who called and said that he didn't want to say his prayer request. He was afraid or a bit ashamed or embarrassed because he thought that his problems were not big enough. And I want to say this to him and to everyone else who's hesitant about calling, that Jesus said we should cast all our cares upon him. So any problem is not too small or too big for him. So please, anyone who's ever worried or too ashamed that they feel that their problems are not big enough, may you please call in and we can pray for you, even if it's something that you feel is trivial, because I think it's one way of the devil's tactics to keep us in our problems and to feel like we are alone. With at least when you have someone praying with you, the burden is shared. So please call in with anyone who feels they need to help in prayer. Don't ever think that your problem is too small for us to pray for. And I would also like you to help me to pray for my friend Claire. She is not a believer, but she knows that I pray, and she asked me to pray for her mom, who's just been diagnosed with cancer. It happened at the beginning of October, and they've only given her 6 months to live. May you please pray for me, help me to pray for her so that she gets, I suppose, praying for healing, but it's, God is God of the impossible. So if she, may we please pray for her complete healing and that she comes to know to the Lord. And if complete healing is not possible, may you please give her so much more time. May you please pray that God gives her so much more time than the 6 months she's been given. My friend had moved to Europe but has had to come back. She left in May and we had to come back last week to look after her mom. Her family is very loving and caring, and therefore have looked after me very well. May you please pray that her mom is strengthened and that she has longer than the 6 months that the doctors have given her. Thank you very much for the Community Daily at your Bible. I love you and I pray for all of your requests. Thank you and God bless you. Amen.
Hi, Janet. I just listened to the November 12th. Debbie called in for prayer for her family. Her niece and nephew have both been diagnosed with some kind of mass in their head. I don't recall exactly what it was, but Debbie, I just want to call and say I'm speaking for you and I'm praying for your family. My brother and sister in 2008 were both diagnosed at the same time with a different kind of cancer. And they're still with us. But I just know that, you know, it's extremely difficult for the family. But a lot of good has come out of it. They've grown closer to the Lord. And I just pray that whatever situation your niece and nephew are in and the rest of your family, that God is just going to wrap his loving arms around them and help them to draw closer to him in the situation and closer to others, so that God will get the glory, whatever the outcome. I just pray against, this disease, against this mass, and I just thank you for calling and having us hear your broadcast so that we can pray for you, so you know you're not alone. And please let your family know that we love them, we're reaching out with prayer to them, and God bless you, Debbie, for making that phone call and letting us know so we can pray. God bless you.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Community. This is Becky calling from Washington State. I'm calling for my Aunt Sandy. She's in the hospital. She's in intensive care. Been battling cancer for quite a while and is negative effect of some of her drug treatment. It's unclear at this point, but she's in very, very serious condition, and just praying that she pull through this, and pray for her family and her husband, and that she feel God's peace and have healing, and even in the midst of a really difficult situation. So thank you so much. Have a great day, and I really love listening to all the prayer requests and each one I hear. I'm like, I want to call and encourage that person. Oh, I so relate to that person. I think I'll just add one. There was a woman that called. She said something about, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but about you lost your home and you feel like your son, and you've just been having, and you're almost afraid to pray to God because it seems like your answer to all of your prayers has been no. And I just, my heart just went out to you. I just related to that at certain points in my life, feeling like, I want to ask for what I want because I'm not going to get it. If I ask for it, it's just going to jinx it. So I just want you to know that, you know, obviously I can't promise it. Things are going to, you're just going to get the next thing you pray for, but I just definitely pray that you receive encouragement and that God does touch your life with a yes to a prayer that you send to him. So, all right. Have a great day. Bye.